gonna be all right. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege of hearing your word. Take us from self. Allow your spirit to deal with us and dwell with us as he unfolds and discloses the truth. Let him tailor the truth that every hearer's heart might hear, might see themselves in the scripture. And then, Lord, yield to you as you give us the principles to practice for profit. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to Psalm number 119, verse 10. Psalm 119, verse 10. Recorded are these words. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a moment, I want to talk about triumphal truth. Triumphal truth. This three-part message comes under the general theme, a changed way. A changed way. Verse 11 dealt with a treasured truth. For the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. When he said thy word, he was talking about a sacred word. When he said, have I hid in mine heart, he was talking about a stored word. When he said that I might not sin against thee, he was talking about a settled word. When we look at this word, there are three things that this word suggests. It suggests it's a preeminent word. Preeminent word. But it's important to understand it's preeminent because he says thy word. It's more important than anything else in my life. And until we learn to elevate the word of the Lord to that place in our lives, we will never ever receive or reap all of the benefits that we ought to as God would have us to. Thy word, thy word. Well, what is his word? Well, just a few scriptures make clear what it is. As a matter of fact, in Romans 4:17, it's a prophetic word. Because a portion of the scripture says, he quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. But not only that, it's a promised word. Because Matthew 5:18 says, heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or tittle of that word is unfulfilled. But not only that, Hebrews 4:12 said, it's a powerful word. Thy word. And I can keep on going with what his word is, but you get the helpful holy hint that his word is worthy to be stored or put as a treasure in your heart. Now, what's important about understanding this word is to understand that if this word is all of that, then to me, as the psalmist, it means his word is prized. That's why he hid it in his heart. He hid God's word there because to him, God's word was prized. Somebody say, God's word is prized. See, when you prize something, when something is valuable to you, you keep it in a safe place. But not only is this word prized, because that's important, but this word is also profitable. And when you've got something that's profitable, again, you don't just leave it hanging around anywhere where it can be stolen, lost, or taken. You put it up for safekeeping. But not only is this word prized, and not only is it profitable, but it's also protected because I put it in my heart. And again, that word means the inner man. It means the mind, the will, the understanding. I put that word where it can make a difference. You see, if God's word is in my mind, then when I think, I'm going to think word. If God's word is in my understanding, then I'm going to understand it out of God's word, out of his way, out of his thinking. If his word is in my inner man, then it builds my faith up to believe that what God said he will do, and I am who he says I am. And when we begin to understand the power of God's word underneath the skin, David makes so clear to us that it is important that we get this message and utilize it for our greater good. But it's important to see also that he didn't just get to verse 11 without getting to verse 10. And so here is where we have a triumphal truth, where verse 11 was treasured truth. Here is where he says, with my whole heart. And I can park right there and turn the motor off. Because I think part of the problem with a whole lot of believers is we have believed. We have operate in the things that are godly. That we do not wholeheartedly commit nor dedicate ourselves to the things of God, which means that if we are half-heartedly doing stuff, what are we doing with the other half? And the psalmist makes clear, with my whole heart, my inner man, my will, my mind, my understanding, everything that gives me the ability to reason, I sought thee. Now this is important because we're talking about sought truth. In order to have sought truth, you have sought truth. You've got to seek the true one. And the true one will reveal the truth you're seeking. So he says, notice here, he was looking for God before he found the truth. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Can I tell you, when you find the Lord, everything you need is with him? See, people don't understand, if you seek God, listen, you don't have room to seek nothing and nobody else with your whole heart. That's a matter of fact, he only reserves to show himself fully to those who are fully seeking him. Somebody didn't catch that. You want to know the Lord better. You want to come into a closer place with God. You want to be in an intimate place with God. Well, that requires your whole heart. Not a piece of it. Not a part of it. Not a disheveled heart. not a heart without clarity, not a heart without conscience, not a heart without focus, but he says, with my whole heart. Now, I think I need to throw out parenthetically that David said this after he had been through some stuff. You see, sometimes folk don't understand that you don't really give God your whole heart till you've been messed up with half hearts. How many times have you made some decisions half-heartedly and you're still paying for it or feeling the effects of it? Some of you won't say amen because you're sitting next to a half-hearted mistake. You wasn't all in, but you were in to fit in, to get in, because you felt you should be in at this time. Life was passing you by, so you made a half-hearted decision. My eggs are getting old, so I better go and get married. And married the wrong Joe Blow, and you having troubles now, you're going to be having troubles later. Because it was done half-heartedly. It wasn't who God. Y'all getting quiet in the house? I don't care what area you put it in. If it's half-hearted, that's what you're going to get out of it. Half-hearted results. And so when he talked about seeking God, the man had been through some stuff. He had his share of trials and tribulations. As a matter of fact, he starts off, and I'm going to talk about this at the next service, the Lord willing. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How? Where? What shall he do to cleanse his way? David knew something about that. You see, when it's not wholehearted, may I suggest to you, the way isn't clear and the way isn't clean. And most times you are caught in your own mess. For there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So my brother, my sister, sometimes we miss God just because we don't look for him with our whole heart. When you pray, is it really with your whole heart? Or is it with the part that petition rather than praise? When you ask him for stuff, is it really with thanksgiving? Do you really, really seek him for his honor or for your benefit? You see, with your whole heart says that God is the sum total of why you are seeking him. With him comes with what he has. If I get him, then I got what I need and what I want. But if I miss him trying to get his stuff, he'll let me have the stuff and miss the joy of even having it. Because part of the joy of having the stuff is knowing he gave it to me. Devil can't take it from you. Devil can't hurt you with it. He maketh rich, added no sorrow. You begin to see things the way he wants you to see. It's in his timing. It's for his purpose. It's to get his glory magnified in your life. And so it's all in how you see it from a holistic viewpoint. With my whole heart, what am I seeking? See, our first problem is it's usually stuff. rather than the sovereign one. It's when I go to God, most times it's about gimme, gimme, gimme. Lord, I need, I need, I need. But how many times do I go to him for him? To give him the praise, the glory, to bless his holy name, to think and to talk of his wondrous works. How many times do I go to him and make it about him? With my whole heart have I sought thee. I love the way the psalmist puts this, because he's making clear, let's be clear, God. I came looking for you when I got ready. And I got ready when my heart was fully toward finding you. Let me tell you why a whole lot of folk really don't seek him with the whole heart. The reason they don't really seek him with the whole heart is because they ain't ready to find him. Because it literally means that there's going to be a life change when God comes into your life. It can't remain the same. That means that there are some things that are presently residing in your life, in your mind, in your heart, in your actions, in your attitude, in your activity, that will have to be done away with if God comes into your life. And a whole lot of folk talk that talk, but they ain't walking that walk. They don't really want him in their whole life and seek him with their whole heart, because that means then that they are an open book and they have to obey what he says. And that means they ain't got the last word and they can't do what they want to do, because it's all about him. So where we join church, yeah, we come to Bible study. Yeah, we get a little knowledge, but it's not the salt truth where you find him and he reveals the truth to you that you need to be successful. See, when you find the Lord, and it's not that the Lord was lost, it simply means that you're ready to consciously open up and receive him. When you find the Lord, open up your mind and your heart to receive the Lord, then you are ready for the changes that he creates. You already know there are some things you got to change. Matter of fact, you tried to change them, and you couldn't change them. Any witnesses in the house knew there were some things wrong in their life, and they tried to change it, but they couldn't. But when you really want a true change, you got the one who has the power to change you in God. And so when your heart is holistically focused on God, there are some things that will happen because you are ready. I sought thee. God says, now you're ready. Have I sought thee? God says, now you're open. Have I sought thee? It's the right time. Because one of the things that you need to realize is, my brothers and sisters, is that God's word says you don't cast pearls before swine. There are some wonderful things God wants to share with you, but you ain't ready for them. And he's not going to waste a good revelation on somebody who's not ready for it. You're like, ooh, I just want the Lord to talk to me like that. Well, you ain't ready like that. So he's not going to waste that on you, because you have not done what it has taken to be ready like that. See, seek him for yourself. Seek him where you are. And discover him in that place, and let him elevate you to the place where he wants. He might want to take you higher than where somebody else is, that you're observing their relationship and their fellowship with God. Seek him with your whole heart. God, what is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to say? Where is it you want me to be? How do you want me to operate? And God will meet you there in fellowship. Now, one of the other things that I think about, not only was this sought truth, but this is also sustained truth. Because he says, oh, passionately, emphatically, let me not wander. Listen at this. I found you. Don't let me lose you. I finally got in the place where I want to be. Don't let me lose my place. Listen. Look, I've been waiting on this a long time. And I know the devil want to try and mess with me and take it away from me. But I'm going to put it in your hands to keep me safe. Oh, let me not wander. Now listen at this. Now, he sought the Lord who is true so that God would give him truth. Now, why would he wander from the truth? I'm glad you asked, because he is still human. He still has to deal with the flesh. The writer says, Paul, that there is no good thing in me, that is, in my flesh. If I'm not walking in the spirit, I'm walking in the flesh. I can't get so holy where I forget I'm flesh also. I can't shout so much on Sunday that I forget I gotta walk in this world on Monday, and that will be temptations and trials and all kinds of things pulling at me, where now I've got to make that I have hid in my heart become a reality in my life. And so every now and then I slip. But don't let me slide. Y'all sleeping on this first Sunday. I say every now and then I slip. Anybody slip every now and then? But what he says is, but don't let me slide. Because what you don't realize is, see when the devil can make you slip and slip and slip, then it gets slippery. And when it gets slippery, he elevates the plane, what it appears to be elevating the plane, but what he does is he causes one level to decrease. And so that means then that you start sliding down, not up. You don't slide up. You climb up, you slide. And so what he wants to do is cause you to slide down from your place, from your surrounding, from that you know to be right. That's why you got to be careful the company you keep. Because if you keep the wrong company, it's easy to slide. You'll find yourself slipping into, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Slipping into darkness. And it's because, listen at this, the light, the further you get away from it, becomes dimmer and less sensitive to your eyes, thus becoming more comfortable with low intensity light. And then that means then that you can be comfortable in sin. And then if you ever notice when the world wants to keep you from seeing stuff, what they do is dim the lights. Turn off the lights. Look, and light a candle. No, I want to see everything. Let me leave the lights on. I don't need a mood-altering light. What you trying to hide from me? I wish I had a helper in the house. No. most time, romanticism is nothing but sin in low light with low morals, with a low mindset. It's designed most times, I say not all the time, to do devious things, things that aren't God-like in the God way. So he says, don't let me wander. He didn't say don't let me slip, because to err is human. And there are no perfect people, and so there is no way I can 24/7 be perfect unless I'm in the Spirit 24/7. But the minute I get out the Spirit, I'm subject to slip. Even if it's nowhere but in my mind, in my thoughts. And so when we look at that, this word wander means to err. It means to swerve. It means to go astray. It means to go away. Don't let me wander. Keep me close. Hold on to me even when I let you go. Listen at this now. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. That means I know you got keeping power. Hold me in the storm. Hold me in the darkness. Hold me when I want to do wrong. Hold me. Yeah, there are times you want to do wrong. Don't act like it's not a time you don't want to do wrong. And he's making clear, when I want to do wrong, constrain me. Hold me from myself. When I want to turn left, make that car go right. Or when I turn left, let that be a detour where I got to get back on the right path. Don't let me wander. Don't let me wander. Don't let me wander. Don't let me see too much. It's one thing to take a double look, but it's a whole nother thing to stare. I wish I had a helper in the house. Don't let me wander. Because if I wander, I'm a wonder. And it's when I start wondering, how would this be? How would that be? On and on and on. It's when I get deeper in. I wonder what it'd be like if I were this or I were that. If I were your woman and you were my man, you'd have no. I want. Yeah, y'all get. You'd be weak as a lamb. I want you, no, you don't need to wander, because you start wondering the wrong things. I'm just letting you wander right now. Your mind is gone. Come on back to church. Come on back to church. So he commits to God's keeping the ability to keep him when he doesn't want to keep himself. Hold me. Rock me. Keep me close. Because when you're close to God, you're far from those things that are godless. And what a wonderful place to be when you seek God with your whole heart and find him. While you're close to him, he reveals truth to you, share things with you that none other could share, have fellowship that is so wonderful that after walking with him your whole life, you look back at your house and you look at his house like Enoch. And he said, it's time to go home. Are you ready? And you look up and you say, well, God, since I'm closer to your house than I am to my house,